In today's Holy Gospel, Jesus brings us some information, and we need to know that this is the very last week of his life. A lot of times people lose sight of that fact. He was just finished telling us about the parable of the two sons, which we heard last week, and then a parable of the workers in the vineyard. Now, in between those two parables came a day that we call Palm Sunday, where Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem on the foal of a donkey. He was carried into Jerusalem. Jesus gives this parable of the wicked tenants, and it's not only recorded in Matthew chapter 21, but also in Luke chapter 20 and Mark chapter 12. It's very important because he's giving us insight into what's about to happen. Once again, it's set in a vineyard, and as Beverly read from Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 to 7 this morning, we heard about a vineyard. Jesus based this parable on that reading, and he reminded the Jews of God's goodness to them as a nation, as a people, having delivered them from Egypt and planted them in a land rich with milk and honey. God gave them material and spiritual blessings, but he only asked that they bear fruit, the fruit of his glory. From time to time, God sent his servants, the prophets, to the people to receive that fruit. But the people mistreated the servants and even killed some of them. And as he spoke this to the people, they had to have made some connection with the parable and the scriptures, especially Isaiah. But they had no way of knowing what was about to happen in just a few days. Jesus told his disciples and the apostles many times that he must suffer and die. And here's just one example. And this is from Luke chapter 9, verse 22. And he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law. And he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." They heard his words, but probably didn't connect the dots until after his arrest and death. Time after time, God sent his prophets to alert Israel of their needs to repent and to change their ways. And time after time, they deliberately rejected his words, and they went ahead and did their own thing, even to the point of idolatry. It cost them the first temple and the destruction of Jerusalem, and they were cast into exile in Babylon for 70 years. Here was a people who had been given a land and so many blessings, but like the tenants of the vineyard, they had their own agenda. And they were disobedient not only to God's law, but to his word and demands for repentance. Jesus is telling the people exactly what's going on right in front of their very eyes. That he's being rejected by those he came to save, but that he's destined to be vindicated by God the Father, who is, of course, the vineyard owner. The vineyard is Israel. The tenant farmers are Israel's officials. The son, you guessed it, it's Jesus himself. This is a story that is so full of depth, sorrow, and power. It tells how Jesus has now come to Jerusalem to confront the tenant farmers with God's demand for fruit of their repentance, for Israel to be at last what it was called to be, the light of God's world. And it's the story of how Israel, through its official representatives, is going to refuse that demand and will end up by killing him in just a matter of days. I want you to hear these words from today's Holy Gospel. Jesus said to them, "Have you never read the scriptures? The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. He who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed. I find it very interesting that the Hebrew word for son is ben. In 1 Kings 4, 8 to 18, the 12 district governors are listed, starting with Ben-Hur in the hill country of Ephraim. I realized when I was looking into this that the Hebrew word for stone is Eben. And I really don't think that there's a coincidence here at all. I had always thought that Bar meant son of, and I've taught that many times. But in looking more closely into this and researching it, Bar is son of in Aramaic, which was the spoken language. But Ben is son or son of in Hebrew. Amazing. Jesus is speaking of the Ben, the son, who is also the Eben, the stone. There's very real scriptural history in Jesus is speaking of the capstone, or as it's said in some translations, cornerstone. Now, I used to struggle with this word, cornerstone, because for me, it's the image of a stone that's put in a building, and it usually has the date that the building was created, or maybe a dedication saying, and they put a time capsule of sorts inside this cornerstone so that when the building was destroyed, that they could take it out and see what was going on when it was built. And maybe some other words, possibly a dedication of sorts. As I started researching further, I found that it is a capstone that is truly what's being spoken of here. See, when the building goes up, this stone is put on the top of the corner to hold it all together. What a marvelous image of what Jesus is saying. He is the means of repentance and judgment, rejecting of God's Son, beloved Son, by failing to submit your life to him has serious consequences because he holds everything together. Jesus was referring to the Holy Scripture taken from the prophet Daniel in chapter 2 with an image of a dream by King Nebuchadnezzar about a huge statue. You might remember that. Daniel writes this: "The head of the statue was made of pure gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of baked clay." That's Daniel chapter 2, verses 32 and 33. And then suddenly he wrote this in verse 34. "While you were watching, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands. It struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them." Don't worry, I'll connect the dots here. All of this brought about this conclusion, which is verse 44. "In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that never will be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it itself will endure forever." The people of Jesus' day thought that the feet of iron mixed with clay was Rome, the last kingdom. So what about this stone, the Eben? Could it be that the last kingdom, the kingdom of iron mixed with clay, is not Rome after all? Maybe from Jesus' point of view, it is the uneasy alliance between Herod and the chief priests who he put there in the first place. Maybe it's that their shaky kingdom will come crashing down when the stone eventually falls on them. But before it can become the chief stone in the building, it has to be rejected. And that's going to happen to Jesus in just a matter of days. The Apostle Peter later referred to this in his first epistle. He wrote in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 to 8, "So I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone," Scripture says, "and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for." You see, those who aren't broken before him will one day be broken by him. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Paul wrote that to the Philippians in chapter 2, verse 10. The only question that remains here is, when will your life be broken by God's precious chosen cornerstone? Will you give your life to him? Have you given your life to him? Now to be broken before him in repentance and be saved? Or will you be like those who wait too long and will be broken or crushed by him when he returns to judge the world? You know, it's funny. Sometimes people will say, "Can it be that simple? Can it really be that simple that all you need to do to be saved is believe in Jesus Christ?" I've said many times from this pulpit, and you've heard me even last weekend, about John 3:16. Jesus said, and you're going to hear it in just a few moments with the comfortable words, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." If you believe in him, believing in him and giving yourself to him, you'll be broken, but strengthened and a new creation. If you don't believe in him and you stand against him, when that stone falls, look out. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.